Hey, everybody, welcome to the Morphin Grid. I'm Jake.
And I'm Josh.
And today we're watching episode 715 of Power Rangers, Power Rangers Samurai, episode 15, The Blue and the Gold.
It aired May 14th, 2011, written by David Schneider and Jill Donnellan, and directed by Akihiro Noguchi.
Okay, that's the same guy who did the last two, right?
I think so. I think he's here for a minute. Nope, this is... We go to Jonathan Brock next time.
Oh, Brock is bad. Okay, we'll save it for him. But I think typically the Power Rangers directors do like three at a time.
Yeah.
Because they film like three in a week because they have, with all the Sentai footage, they have like less stuff they would normally need to film. So they just like crank. I remember in season one, they would film like five episodes at a time, like concurrently.
Yeah, and it was like if the people who aren't doing Power Rangers stuff are here, they're doing Juice Bar stuff or whatever.
Doing Juice Bars. And they would just have, like, in the command center, they would just be, like, off to the side. There's, like, a rack of clothes. And they're like, this is this episode, this is this episode, this is this episode. So you would film, you would get ready in one, and they would switch you out, and you would do the scene in the next set of clothing for the next episode.
That's crazy, because they were making, like, $10
a day. They were making, according to... I think it was Austin St. John, and I think Walter Jones has corroborated. They were making about as much as what they would make working at McDonald's.
Yeah.
For being on a show that was selling, again, $1 billion worth of toys, and yeah. That's 1993 billions.
1993 McDonald's, so this minimum wage was still $7.25, if I'm not mistaken.
It might have been slightly lower at that point. Let's see, what's minimum wage?
I bet it's around mid-fives.
History of the federal minimum wage. Oh, from the U.S. Department of Labor.gov. There's no way this has not been tampered with in the last several months. Let's see. From 1991 to 96, it was $4.25.
Jeez.
$4.25 for 5 years, and it went up 50 whole cents in 96. And then in 2009, it topped out.
It reached its maximum capacity of $7.25.
It has not changed since July 24th, 2009, when I was 20 years old. And yeah. I just turned 36. So
I was 23.
A sprightly then. Young 23. That sucks, man. That sucks so much.
It doesn't feel good, you know?
Anyway, if you're new here, what we do is we pause the recording, we go watch the episode of Power Rangers, we come back, we talk about it. You can follow along if you got YouTube or DVDs or another certain streaming site that refuses to sponsor us.
Mm-hmm.
Also, have not heard back from 7-Eleven yet, but I am gonna reach out to another brand to do a sponsorship because I think it would be very funny. If during the 7-Eleven episode they don't get back to us, but like Arizona Iced Tea does, I think that would be really funny. So I'm gonna try it. What's the worst that happens? We still don't have anyone paying us to do the show besides you lovely people.
Yeah,
really. It would be very funny if anybody sponsored that episode besides 7-Eleven, but it would be the funniest if 7-Eleven sponsored the episode.
Yeah, and then we wouldn't have to burn them.
And then we wouldn't have to melt their asses live to tape like we did, which maybe you heard, maybe you didn't hear. If they sponsored us, you absolutely did not hear that.
Right. One of those episodes is lost. It's either the one where we're nice and are sponsored, or it's the one where we roast them.
Whichever one isn't will end up in the Frankencast because you do have to pay us to hear that. So,
yeah,
like, and they're not going to. They're not going to find the 7-Eleven doesn't have a Patreon account that they can subscribe to us.
Don't worry, it's not lost media, even though I don't think something can be lost media if it's not released.
No, that's well, I feel like that depends on the medium. Like if there was an episode of a TV show that was filmed and then just not put out, I feel like that is lost media. If it's a segment, a joke on a podcast that got cut, I don't think that counts. I don't think that has
like,
the same
prestige. I don't think of beta build of a video game is lost media.
No, I feel like that is like proprietary stuff. I still want to see it, but I don't think legally speaking lost media. It's not like the Prime Star TV channel guide, like which I just can't really find anywhere. I have looked quite a bit. Some people would just have like a recording of like, here's me watching TV in 1997 on Prime Star, and they will just like have it. and I've watched that, all of those, obviously, because who do you think we're talking to? This is Prime Star Jake here.
Man, we were just recording anything with a handy cam in the 90s,
huh? Like, it was on their VCR. Like, I got, like, it is just like,
oh, okay.
Like, I put in a tape, and for 2 hours, I channel surfed through Prime Star in January of 1998.
The foresight in 1998 to be like, I should document this.
What was the goal
for the future? Like,
there's no YouTube. There's not even the idea of streaming video because internet is basically instant messaging and message boards. And I don't even know if instant messaging was around in 1998 yet. I genuinely don't think it might not have been that early.
I think it was. I remember. No, it was definitely high school. That might be a 2000s plus thing. Or like a 99.
When did AOL Instant Messenger come out? May 1997.
Okay.
So you could have been like, to your friends, your away message could be BRB taping Prime Star for 2 hours. So Jake can watch it in the year of our Lord 2025.
Your away message is like, sorry you missed me. I had an idea. I have an idea.
I've got plans. Cause like best case scenario, you like show your friends later, right? Like it's not.
Well, here's the thing, right? This was before streaming, before Twitch or streaming. Like YouTube, I think probably existed, but like
YouTube didn't exist till 2005.
I figured out playing the first Guitar Hero because the game console ran through Channel 3 at the time.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, I can record my runs on a tape.
Yeah.
And I did that, and I showed my friends.
Josh, do you have the tape still?
No, I don't have the tape still.
Oh, what's even the point? Why even tell me?
It's like a moderate run of All of This by Seamus. It's like I missed. It was like a 4-star. I don't know. Sure. Something. And I showed my friends and they're watching it and they're like, this is you playing? And I was like, yeah. And they're like, okay. And they're like, halfway through, I'm like, oh, it's weird to just sit here and watch this with my friends. And I never did it again because I was like, what? Why would you do that?
I think if you would have pushed past that, you would be a top Twitch streamer right now. You'd be making millions of dollars.
That is the problem I have with streams is that
you got to push through it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. Streaming is weird to me.
It is a little weird. I like that I can edit myself when I do podcasts. You can't really do that live. So you got to be a little more ready, you know?
Yeah.
All your ums and your uhs are going to be front and center instead of cut and deleted. You're not as bad as I am. To be fair, but
that's shocking to me. I just giggle the whole time. That's my problem, is that I'm always laughing a little bit.
Your number one cut noise is
that also makes a
like
lot of
a million
sense.
A million of them an episode. I've tried noise canceling that noise, and for whatever reason it crosses over with just like regular sounds you make, and it will like destroy some of the audio if I get too deep in it. Speaking of streams and stuff, I do want to shout out somebody, a listener of the show, Yoshi Stack, who does Let's Plays on the YouTube, youtube.com/YoshiStack, I imagine. She's been doing Yoshi's Island. I've been watching that, and it's very fun. So if anyone's looking for new Let's Players to watch, check out Yoshi Stack.
Nice.
There's also Metroid Zero Mission on there, which I'm probably going to watch afterwards.
That's not a Yoshi game.
It's not a Yoshi. There's a lot of non-Yoshi games. And in fact, there's Yoshi's Island is like the current one, and there's a lot of stuff before that. So it's like she was saving it, I feel.
Yeah.
Working up to Yoshi's Island, the one that he owns. Does he own the island or is he just from the island?
I think he's, he might be the landlord of the island.
Okay, because I was going to say, who is named after who?
Well, because in Super Mario World, it's Dinosaur Island.
Right, but that's after Yoshi's lost their...
And then after you run Bowser out, Yoshi runs for president, and it becomes Yoshi's Island.
Right, but it's Yoshi's Island in the past when Mario was a baby.
Oh, that's true. Okay, so it's communism, and then it goes to Dinosaur Island.
Right.
Where they all are...
Everyone has a say.
Equal parts.
Because I just want to know if, like, Yoshi is named after the island. Like, we found these animals on Yoshi Island, we're gonna call them Yoshis, or if they're like, this is a Yoshi and the only place they come from naturally is this island, so this is the Yoshi Island.
It could be that if it's from the perspective of baby Mario, and like the first thing you see here is Yoshi. You go, oh, this is Yoshi's Island. Like right. this is Josh's house.
Yeah.
But like I don't own the house.
You didn't build it.
Right.
Yeah.
No.
I think that's it. I think it's from Baby Mario's perspective. He's like, Yoshi Island, Yoshi's Island. Perfect. And then later on, when he's an adult, he's like, oh, it's called Dinosaur Island. Oh, interesting.
Yeah, they didn't correct him back then because he was a baby.
Because he's a literal baby who...
He's literally in a diaper.
He was just brought to you by the stork. Like, you just got here. He's a diapy baby who cries whenever he gets hit. What a loser.
Who is he, Kevin?
That crying sound, by the way, is so deeply embedded into my sense memory that whenever it happens when I'm watching the Let's Plays, I'm like, I gotta get that baby right now. Anyway, you want to go watch it? The episode? The Blue and the Gold?
Yeah.
All right.
Let's samurai, guys!
Jake!
Josh! And we're back. We just watched The Blue and the Gold.
We certainly did.
This Weenie Hut Jr. ass episode.
This is a real baby.
Power Rangers Samurai.
This is a real, real diaper baby episode. Speaking of Baby Mario. The thing about The Blue and the Gold is that I feel like there was actually a lot of episode in it, which is interesting for Power Rangers Samurai, a pretty light season. But also, it was just more diaper baby stuff. So,
yeah.
HeyJakeandJosh.com. That's the website. You can go there, listen to old episodes up through Mystic Force.
Could be. Who knows? Got an extra day off this week, but took a personal day on Friday because I am sick of working Fridays and I need one off.
Yeah, 5 days a week is sounds untenable to me.
Yeah. Look, the job is not that
hard. Oh, it's never the work. Right.
Yeah, like, it's the never fact that the I have to be somewhere else and I have to be doing some trivial task for 8 hours. That's the problem. And also it is right in the middle of the general public.
Yeah.
And that is draining.
It is. Yeah. I wish I could, if I could just run a paper department at a Target and have no interaction with management at all, I would do that job for the rest of my life. That would be so easy. I don't even mind talking to customers. Nobody comes into the toilet paper aisle with questions.
No, everybody knows what they're there
for. No, they're there for a reason, and they don't want you to see them buy their toilet paper, because then they're like, you're going to think about my butt. Oh, God. So it was pretty easy. Like, the worst it got was like, do you have this kind of paper plate somewhere? And it's like, well, no. All my stuff is out.
Where are the toothpicks?
Yeah, it's right here. They're very small. It's hard to miss. I understand. Like, it's not that. Like, I got asked more questions on my way to and from the paper department than I got in there. If I could just do that, that would be fine. But the problem is that you would have managers.
Yeah.
And managers make jobs harder for no reason other than they got to do something with their time. Anyway. That's where you can listen to old episodes.
Yeah.
There's also an archive feed. We're on Twitter a little bit at Morphin Grid. We're on Blue Sky, morphingrid.bisky.social. Oh, you can email us lilydays.morphingrid@gmail.com. How could I forget? Nobody emails us, which is fine because I have email anxiety. So we do get some. Let me just check right now. What's the worst that happens?
You know what? You'll do that. I'll look at reviews, which we also haven't checked in a dog's age.
Also, there's one from, I think it's Crypto Zookeeper, that we never read, and that is Chris from Hello Hyrule. I am pretty confident. So just, fire that up. We do have one email.
Hey, look at us.
Look at us. We have more emails, but they're like, hey, here's some rankings for the Morphin Grid on Good Pods or whatever, which, like, I didn't ask. So it's from James. Hey, guys, it's James again. I see you're in the Neo Saban era. Sorry, we're calling it the Saban Brands era. That's our personal decision to call it that. You haven't heard that episode yet, though, so that's fine. With Samurai, you were talking about the lack of interaction between Bulk and the Power Rangers. Well, there's a reason. I would like link you to the whole article, but there's a major spoiler, so I'll just do a snippet. When you get near the end, I'll link the whole article. The Bates quotes, the Bates in the article, is James Bates, a writer and producer on the series. So then this is all from the article.
Okay.
Samurai featured the return of long-running Power Rangers character Bulk, played by Paul Schreier. While this should have been a welcome and celebrated return, fans wondered why Bulksim confines the scenes with wacky sidekick Spike. If they were going to bring back such a fan favorite, shouldn't he have been interacting with the Rangers? Quote, Mr. Saban loves the comedic elements of the show. Does he? Okay.
He loves the comedic elements of the show in the way
but
that, like,
not funny.
In the way that, like, I don't know. In the way that, like, Vince McMahon loves watching little people wrestle.
Right. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that, like, it's very funny to him specifically, right. And is like kind of sucks in general.
Do you see that picture of him from like the other day, like recently, where he looks like they've already done the corpse makeup on him for when he dies?
He's been embalmed. They're just kind of like walking him around.
Like, he's already been stuffed and embalmed. And someone said, like, this guy hates when he sneezes. So, like, he's obviously not going to tell people that he is, like, dying soon.
Yeah.
And it would be so funny if him and Hulk Hogan died within, like, a month of each
other.
That
would be poetic.
That'd be hilarious. Yeah. Just absolutely deserved. Anyway, Mr. Saban loves the comedic elements of the show, but it came to a point where Paul couldn't relocate to New Zealand, so we only had him for a limited time, Bates explains. You had the choice of creating new characters or having Bulk, or having Bulk and having Paul play Bulk. You should have saved it for when he could have done something. Like, if he was free next season in Megaforce, where they have an Ernie's Juice Bar, you could have see if he was, like, open for that and brought him back then, instead of being like, well, we gotta have him now, or else. Early casting sheets for Samurai listed two singing street sweepers, Big Jack and Skinny Mac, as possible comic relief.
I can't believe we missed out on Big Jack and Skinny Mac.
I hate that so much. The producers chose to use the character of Bulk, even with Schreier's limited involvement. He'd shoot his bits like three episodes at a time, Bates explains. It was not a creative choice, but more a creative solution. If I had my choice, Bulk and Spike would have been integrated into the stories. Basically, they only had Paul Schreier for a limited time period, so they had to make do. I also have heard that it was suggested to make Spike the Gold Ranger, due to the Gold Ranger Sentai counterpart being a bit wacky and comedic, but they split the Sentai counterpart into two characters, one being the human in the Neo-Saban era that would do... and that is frustrating. I didn't read that right.
I don't know what that meant.
I feel like, I don't know if these words are in the right order, if it's just my dyslexia is absolutely beating my ass right now. But they split the Sentai counterpart into two characters. Oh, there is a period there. That's the end of the sentence. It's just the faintest period I've ever seen in my entire life. No other period in this is like that. I don't know why that one is. One being the human, the Neo-Saban era would do that a lot, and it's frustrating. Wouldn't it be cheaper not splitting characters like that? Hang in there, guys, because it does get better, particularly when you get to the Super Samurai part. Well, I'm not holding my breath.
I think we got to the peak, and I think it was episode 6.
I think it probably peaked in episode 6 when a monster jumped in Kevin's face and went, "You're boring," and he flew back through a building at Mach 2. Thank you for the email. I think it is very telling that Saban was like, we gotta get Bulk back for the Mighty Morphin cash grab season.
Yeah.
Even if we make the legacy of Bulk into absolute mud in the process.
Yeah.
So
he's just like, no, we need to get more goop on him.
I would have rather have had Big Jack and Skinny Mac.
Oh, yeah. And there's street sweepers.
Singing street sweepers?
Cleaning up the messes after the battles.
That could have been fun.
We could rename ourselves Big Jack and Skinny Mac.
We could have been Big Jack and Skinny Mac.
We still can be. It's not like anyone's using it.
It's not too late.
Hey, Jack and Mac.
From the producers of Hey, Zach and Zach, come. Hey, Jack and Mac.
Then we won't get everyone being like, I thought it was like a Drake and Josh podcast.
We would have missed out on a lot of early listeners saying, I thought Drake and Josh made a podcast. And I had to go to a lot of people, you know, Jake and Drake are different words, right? That's not the same. That's not even really that close. Like, you have to get through the really defining features of both of those words before you get to the part that rhymes. So that's on you. Anyway, thank you for the email.
All right, we got some reviews, too.
Oh, yeah.
Since we're catching up on stuff we neglect.
Yeah.
This first one is from September 18th, 2024.
Ooh, it's been aging. It's a finely aged review.
I wish iTunes or the app podcast app, whatever the this is, I wish they could realize you could break a title into two lines so that I could read the whole thing.
Oh, so you can see the whole thing instead of having to guess at it.
From iTunes user Crypto Zookeeper, who's our good friend, Chris.
I'm 99% sure that's Chris because I'm pretty sure that is his name on the GG.app.
It is, yeah. The title of is so good you can enjoy this, dot, dot, dot. It is so good. This podcast is so good you can enjoy it.
I love that.
It's a 5-star review. It says, the real gift of the Morphin Grid is it's a little window into the friendship of the two hosts. They're both supremely talented in both recapping the episodes and in listening. Wow.
Now it's on you. See, reading's not so easy, is it, Josh?
No, I told you a few episodes ago. I hate doing it. They're both supremely talented, both in recapping the episodes and in keeping things humorous for the listener. I've listened to full seasons of this show without watching an episode myself, and I feel like I've gotten everything I needed out of the Power Rangers seasons. Love the passion these two have, and I'll follow along with any new shows they put out.
Aw, thanks, Chris.
So thank you very much. That's very...
We appreciate it. Sorry it took 9, 10, 11 months, 12 maybe by the time you hear this, to read that.
The next one is 11 days later, September 29th, 2024.
Oh, geez.
iTunes user Jack Attack 2.
Okay.
It's Jack O'Tack.
Jack O'Tack. Okay. Jack, son of Tack.
Titled, each episode makes you S. Somebody needs to tell me what these full titles are because the podcast app doesn't want me to know.
You can't look at it on the podcast app, but they don't want you to go to iTunes.
Like, I can't do it in landscape and make the window bigger. It just doesn't work. It just doesn't do that.
It doesn't do that. Can you hold it and will it scroll? It's like just it cuts off and dot, 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 right?
No, it's just, yeah, it just stops. It's like that. You've heard enough.
You've seen it. This is all you need to know.
Each episode makes you S.
It makes you S.
It makes you S so good.
Hey, Jack and Mac make you S. I don't know what to tell you.
I'm assuming that's good because it's a 5-star review and it says, I've been spending the past couple of months binging Power Rangers and following along on the podcast. Why did they make tongues the way they did?
Oh, it's a joke. It's like knees. It's like how knees are a joke, like the God played on the human body. Tongues are like,
yeah.
So your top half doesn't feel like it's not also getting pranked too.
It has been such a fun adventure. I'm almost caught up. The podcast makes you feel like you're chatting with friends about a fun TV show. Don't skip a single episode if you can find them.
If you can find, yeah.
Some of them are sneaky.
Also, you can skip about 150 episodes. If you jump in with Zio, I think you'll be fine. You might miss a couple. You might miss Your Boy Tiki. You might miss the Double Air episode.
You will miss some of the foundational lore of the running jokes that have endured for 11 years.
Yeah, and some of them, like, I don't know how the joke started on the show. I just know that the joke is from the show. And then other times people will be like, I started at the beginning, and then they will try to have 11 conversations with me from 11 years ago. But I have to go, I'm so sorry. I have no clue what you're talking about in this instance. That's a different guy. I know you heard it recently because it was recorded, but if I was like, hey, remember 11 years ago when you said this, the answer is probably no. For any given thing that you thought about, I just happen to have recorded mine.
The next one's from January of this year.
Oh, so okay. Anyway, thank you, Jack O'Tack.
Yes, thank you.
Jack O'Tack the second.
Lovely review. I love all these. These are so fun to read. I love it when you guys talk us up.
I do too. Love to make you S.
I'm so happy we can make you S.
Is it smile? Do you think it's smile?
Oh, could be. Could be scream, for all I know.
It could be scream with joy.
January 24th, 2025, by iTunes user. It is a name, but I'm going to say it because it's okay. Like, I think this is like an iTunes user name, right?
Yeah.
It's Dylan. Maybe we bleep the last name.
Okay, Dylan. We love a Dylan around these parts.
Dylan C. Title is It's Morphin Time. 5-star review says, this is probably my favorite podcast. Their energy matches mine. Their jokes are right up my alley. And it feels like I'm listening to conversations my friends and I have had about Power Rangers. 5 Larigos out of 5.
Hot dog. So you're at least interp.
And the smiley face emoticon. Not an emoji. It's the text.
Oh, nice. The classic.
: close parentheses.
Yeah. Did you know that if you type that in a lot of places, it'll just like auto make it an emoji for you now?
Just puts the emoji in.
And like, I'm an old person. I'm meant to, if I'm putting an emoticon there, I mean it.
That's what I want.
I want it to be that way. I've never been an emoji person until now. I have a girlfriend. I've been using emojis I've never even seen before.
That also happened to me. I used emojis like a little bit here and there. Once you get a girlfriend, the emoji door opens.
It's like it's
and
it's,
they just come pouring out.
You can't help it. Here they come. But I typed in a letterbox review an emoticon, and I was looking at like what is it? Like greater than symbol colon 3. So it's like a ha ha ha, but like
yeah, like the devilish smile.
But like a kid, and I was like, that feels good. Feels good to have written that out.
Final new review from July 10th, 2025. iTunes user. Greatest VGD D HDHG.
Greatest video game dog high def home and garden.
High def high grift. I don't know. Home and garden, yeah. High def home and garden. Yeah. All right. Obviously.
Got it.
Title is after 500-ish episodes, a 5-star review. Says, I'm out of moon jail. That's the whole thing.
Nice.
After 500-ish episodes, I'm out of moon jail.
Finally. Look. The point is that you got out of moon jail eventually. Right now, you're back in Debrig. This is not you specifically, because if you haven't rated, I don't know, we haven't talked about this in a while, because carceral punishment got not fun. but if you don't leave a rating interview, you do go to Debrig currently. And then every season, we do kind of have to transfer you to a new facility. A new facility as it changes. Right now, you're in Debrig. It's different from the Brig from back on Diva Talks Ship. It's a different thing.
Yeah.
It's Debrig now. You're down there with the dinosaurs and the dragons.
And the blue and the gold.
And the blue and the gold. thank you for your review. High def dog.
Greatest video game dad, dog, high def home and garden. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. We really appreciate it. Also, we're on Patreon. Patreon.com/HJ and Josh. I think it's the only thing we have left. For as little as $1 a month, you know, support the show. We really appreciate it. You've heard us read the patrons because we're recording it tomorrow, which means it will have been in episode 10 because that's how far ahead we are, which is less far ahead than we used to be, but still
pretty ahead.
Far enough ahead. That website again is patreon.com/JJ and Josh. I don't know if I ended the sentence or not. Do you want to jump into De Blue and De Gold?
Yes. We gotta. It's 12:30. We haven't started talking about the episode yet.
It is, and we got laws. We have one thing that we gotta do here, and that is give you the facts to make we gotta make you S somehow, and this is the only way we know how to do it. We start off with kids playing basketball, and they're little kids, and they're very much not American little kids because they sound extremely New Zealand.
They sound exactly like young Cat from season 3 of Mighty Morphin Power Rangers.
Can I just talk about the New Zealand accent for a second?
Mm-hmm.
I think I've talked about it before. I watch a lot of like camping and like survival camping YouTube videos. It's like one of my like chill down things, like when I'm waiting for sleep aid to kick in, I'll put something like that on.
Yeah.
And there's this one guy that I watch who is from Aotearoa, and he is extremely a Kiwi. And if you are from there, I need you to answer me a question, anyone listening. If you're from there and you sound like that, does it hurt a little bit to talk? Because I'm watching him say like bed and stuff, and like certain, because like bed is bid. Like it's like I don't know how to explain how the sound changes, but it changes from like a E to a I in your common American accent.
Sure.
But sometimes it looks like he's trying to do it. Like if he does, like there's someone off camera, like if you let them know we sound normal down here, I'll kill you. There's rules. Like is there like a government agency that's like you have to let everyone, you have to make everyone else think you sound like this, no matter how painful it looks sometimes to talk. I'm not saying it's a bad accent. I'm saying sometimes I get concerned watching people talk with it. Anyway, these kids sound like that. So maybe it isn't a put on because like there's no way.
I don't think it can, because the problem with the kids is that they can't do the put on.
They can't not sound like. Yeah.
Yeah.
So they're playing, the basketball goes stray, and then something slimy reaches out and grabs it. and takes it away. And he's like, oh, my ball.
Oh, no. My oh, ball. No.
And then the other kid he's playing with runs over to a bench. He's like, oh, no, my truck.
That's my favorite toy.
And like, that's also gone. And all that's left is what I am calling store brand Ivan Ooze. They couldn't spring for the purple dye. So it's clear
glue slime.
It's a clear glue slime. And it's everywhere. It gets all over the place. Like, the basketball's gone. There's just, like, the ground is, like, wet and sticky with slime. And then, like, the whole bench is just sloppy.
Yeah, the truck was on, like, a picnic table. And it is just, like, oozing and dripping off of... It's, like, a huge puddle of slime just dripping off the table.
It's like if they were playing clear Figure It Out. And Danny Tamborelli was just sitting here. He got clear slimed.
Somebody spilled their Crystal Pepsi on the picnic table.
Was Crystal Pepsi slimy?
No, it was just Pepsi.
I feel like if you took a Orbitz and you put it in the microwave, and all the orbs melted into it, it would become this consistency.
That was the hardest part of this episode, actually, was taking the bobas out of the Orbitz to use it as slime.
You had to strain your Orbitz.
Because that was like drinking syrup.
Kids, back in the day...
Orbitz was only around for 1 year.
It was
97 to 98, and then everyone was like, this is gross to slurp on, actually. Yeah,
drinking this is hard to do. And then whoever invented boba, I think it's from Thailand, they were like, yeah, if they're like actual like boba balls and not just these little weird things that look like when you break open styrofoam and rub it together, so all the little styrofoam bits.
The tiny little styrofoam balls, yeah. And but the then problem they make you drink that. The drink had to be more viscous so they would float in it.
Right, so they'd just settle at the bottom.
So they're just like, it's gross. I had like one Orbitz. So it was like the orange cream one. And I was like, first of all, this flavor is done better in different drinks. And also, it doesn't feel like I'm drinking snail remains.
Right. I would, if I could time travel, I would go back to the year that Orbitz was available and I would buy one and try it again because I was six, right? And I wasn't allowed to drink a lot of soda.
I was like 12, so I was like, yeah, give me gross stuff that adults don't like.
Yeah.
This has little stuff in it. And I remember my friend was like super into Orbitz. Like, man, Orbitz are so good. He was always getting Orbitz. And I like tried one with him and I was like, this is bad. I don't like this.
Are you okay? Why do you like this? So we cut from there to the house, the Sheba household, where they're all sitting at the table. And Antonio has a little – I've only seen this particular household equipment used to, like, steam bow
I recognized dumplings. It from Animal Crossing, or I think it's called, like, a steamer basket.
Yeah, it's literally that. Like, so you put water in it, and you put that, and, like, that gets hot, and the steam goes up, and there's, like, little layers in between that you can put stuff in to steam it. But instead, there's no layers. It's just the basket part, and there's a little lobster.
This is a Zord lobster. It's the Claw Zord. It doesn't matter in this episode.
They're still working on it. It's not done yet.
Yeah, it's just really weird because you would think when they introduce something at the beginning of an episode, they're like, we're fixing it. It's going to be fixed in time to help them win at the end of the episode. But that is not what happens here.
No, Josh, it's long-form storytelling. Power Rangers Samurai is good,
my
actually.
Power Rangers Samurai?
I know, hard to believe.
It's the slow burn on the Claw Zord.
Yeah, we're gonna have to wait.
Really, when that thing wakes up, it's really gonna pay off.
Oh, you're gonna love it. We're all gonna love it. I do hate that it's called the Claw Zord and not like the Lobster Zord or the Shrimp Zord or whatever, because every other Zord is named the animal that it is, and not a feature that it
except has. Except for Octozord. It's named an animal that it's not.
Right. But it's like a slant rhyme to an animal, right. At least. But it's not like
Tentacle Zord. Yeah.
Yeah. But this is a Claw Zord because the naming convention didn't show up to work today, I guess. And so apparently it got damaged a while ago, and Mentor asked him to fix it up because he knows about technology. And he says basically that he like texted it some power symbols and that helped.
He's like, Mentor is like, I hid it away a long time ago. And I thought he was going to be like, and this chucklehead dug it up.
He found it and fixed it.
But instead he's like, I just wanted to see if he could do it.
Yeah. Which is weird coming off last episode where he's like, I hate you and you'll never be good enough for Jaden.
I still feel like he feels that way. We just don't see him as much this episode.
That is true, which is nice, honestly. Less mentor, yeah, the better.
Because he's like, I'm just trying to prove that he sucks, actually. But instead, he did it. He figured out how to text symbol magic to a Zord to
and
fix
so
it.
Now it's my idea for having him do that. And so I look good either way.
But what's taking him so long? If all you have to do is text the symbols for fixed over and over again, like, why aren't you just spamming it?
Well, because it would get too many texts. It would clog up the circuits.
Oh, his circuits are jammed.
The circuits would be jammed. He does say, like, it's super easy. I just had, because of my technical know-how or whatever. And then Mia's like, wow, you just, like, texted it? And he's like, yeah. This is technology of the future. Welcome to the future, babe, yeah, or whatever he says.
And Mia and Emily are like, hell yeah, that's so cool.
We love texting. We're like, girls. Yeah.
You're so good at stuff or whatever. And also, Mike is here.
Mike is also on board. He loves texting, too.
Yeah.
Boys can text. Boys can text.
And then Kevin is like, oh, whatever. Like,
it's still not samurai because it's not just presses and buttons.
It doesn't matter how many buttons you push. You're not samurai. God.
Why is Kevin Napoleon Dynamite?
I don't know, but he sucks. He took like a hard left turn when Antonio showed up.
Yeah, I was starting to come around to Kevin, and then Antonio showed up and he's like, wait a minute, I can be Napoleon Dynamite. Oh, I'd love to do that instead.
He storms off.
He does. And he's literally like, it's not being a samurai is like real stuff and not just pushing some buttons.
For some reason, Antonio's like, I just want Kevin to like me.
Why?
It's okay. Look. It's okay if he doesn't.
It's fine. You don't have to be friends. You're not here to make friends. You're here to be samurai. All right. It's like, this is like.
Yeah, we're not talking about friends. We're talking about samurai.
We're not talking about the game. We're talking about practice. But then Antonio's like, or no. So before he storms off, Mia chastises Kevin about like, he's
being a wiener.
Like, he's like, she's like, you're being a wiener. He'd like fix this thing. He's trying his best. He wants to like be. He's part of the team. And he's like, this is not. This is not the way of the samurai. It's not pressing buttons. And he walks off. And Antonio's like, it's not about pressing buttons. It's about what's in your heart. To us, the audience, there's no other reason he would say this out loud. And then Jane's like, it's up to you to change his mind. And then we cut away.
He's like the captain in that the top half of his face is never really reflecting the bottom half of his face.
No, the smile does not reach the eyes.
It doesn't reach the top.
And it's scary. Like a spooky, scary skeleton.
Yeah.
And here's the other thing about Jaden. This episode, every couple episodes, he reverts back to like the early Jaden, the like go girl, give us nothing Jaden. And every time it happens, it is so funny to me. And I don't know, I guess the direction is just like, don't.
Yeah.
Do less.
Do less. You're doing too much.
Do less. Because like, when Brittany Ann Pirtle gives us nothing, I know she's trying to give us something and like can't because she's a cheerleader. She's like trained as a cheerleader, not an actor. Like, so this is her first acting job. And during this episode, I was like, man, I wish she would have stayed with acting. I feel like there would be 900 Tubi movies.
She would be in so many Christmas movies.
She would rule.
She would clean up Hallmark Christmas movies.
The ABC Family before it went under, like. Would have been great. Instead, she's like, I'm going to go be a realtor in Northern Nevada. And she says it like that every time. Like, she says something else, but then they cut in her saying Northern Nevada.
In case she moves, she could just reuse the same voice line. She learned that from Power Rangers.
Exactly. Film it all now, and we'll fix it later.
Yeah.
We cut to Antonio on the docks doing samurai practice with his fishing pole. And up come Mia and Mike and Emily.
Is it here, or was it when they were still back at the headquarters when Mike's like, you got to eat, sleep, and drink samurai?
That's here.
Okay.
So they come up, and they're like, Emily's like, hey, Antonio, your moves are looking good. And Antonio's like, I see Kevin couldn't be bothered to join you.
He only hangs out with real samurai, I guess.
I suppose. And then Mike's like, well, man, he's just very like that. Like the only way to impress him is you got to eat, sleep, and breathe samurai. I like that Mike's like, you got to live that samurai grind set. You're not grinding hard enough to be samurai. And then Antonio's like, yeah, I'll put up cameras.
But
it's
also, yeah, he's like, you're not grinding enough to be samurai. And like, neither am I.
That's like... the other thing. None of them are being samurai the same way Kevin is. And Kevin's fine with everybody else phoning it in. But, like, Antonio's the only one who is actively trying.
They're in the bloodline.
They got, it's nepotism. It's samurai nepotism.
That's exactly
that,
what it
Josh,
is.
That does not make me ask to hear about that.
No. It's unessable. That's what I'm trying to say here is Kevin is unessable, and he is...
And he's making it everybody else's problem.
He's a jerk.
We cut to the theme song. When we come back, we're on the boat, and Shami's playing a song that will be the same song she's playing later. I just want you to hold on to that. Just put a pin in that. So she's on the boat. She's playing her shamisen, and Xander starts yelling for Octaroo, and he's like, "Where is he? Where's Octaroo?" And the worry warts pop down, and they're like, "Octaroo, Octaroo."
Why?
Why all of a sudden again?
Why are these here?
To sell toys. It's got to be.
Were
to sell
they
toys.
Even toys? How many worry wart toys did you see in your life?
Well, me none. But okay, all right, hold on. Let's do some investigative journalism. Let's do what the people are paying us for. Power Rangers Samurai.
This is so the Sentai. What year did that come out? Is that post Minions? Because I feel like this is even the Sentai's. Like, we got to put Minions in the show.
Josh, breaking news. They're called furry warts.
Oh,
they're not called worry warts. They're called furry warts.
That's worse.
Yeah. All right, Power Rangers Wiki. Before you turn my phone into a hot plate, can you tell me what they are called in? See, also, Susukodama is what they are called in Shinkenger. So let me just copy this. No, not allowed to copy on fandom.com. Okay, thank you. No, I don't need the whole Jesus Christ, this website.
It's awful. Just terrible.
It's the worst website anyone's ever made in the history of the world. Okay, I need to delete the tab because my phone is, I am feeling it heat up as I am looking this up.
Okay, cook an egg on that thing.
Susukodama toys. I'd have to be on a computer. I can't do this on a cell phone.
This is not a task for a phone.
This is not a phone task, but they maybe Despicable Me came out in, like,
I want to say it was like 2000 single digit 2000s.
Yeah.
2005?
Search that. Tell me when the first one came out. 2010.
Oh, wow. That's much later than I thought.
Which would have been around when Shinkenger came out.
And before Minions took over the world. And now every stupid property has to have a dumb Minions in it.
Oh, brother.
There's a new Cat in the Hat movie coming out.
Yeah, they got the Things Are Minions, aren't
The Things
they?
Are Minions, yeah.
Things Are Minions.
Because it's like, here's Minions. Thing one, right? Looks like a regular thing and it's going to do thing stuff. And then here's thing three. It's a fucking Minion in a thing costume.
It's Minions all the way down. Here's the other thing. Anytime someone puts a Minions in it that doesn't bother me, I'm like, how did you do this but Minions couldn't?
Yeah.
It's very strange. In K-pop Demon Hunters, there's like a derpy tiger. I think its legal name is Derpy Tiger. I haven't looked it up. But like a tiger that's kind of wall-eyed and it's like kind of dumb. But there's only one of it, and I love that thing so much.
That's the trick, is there has to be just one of it.
If there was any more of it, I'd be like, oh, it's a Minions, isn't it? Oh god, we're making a Minions again. Shinkenger had finished airing before Despicable Me came out. So this is a pre-Minions thing, so they were ahead of the curve on it, actually.
Interesting.
I don't know if Power Rangers were able to capitalize on the Minions, because Power Rangers hates capitalizing on a pop culture thing when it's popular.
Yeah, by 2015, they're like, hey, we should do Minions.
What if we tried Minions? And they're like, okay, so we've had two Despicable Me movies so far. And anyways, they pop down, and they're like, Octaroo, Octaroo. And Shammy's like, he's off doing a plan because of whatever reason. Like,
he said if the plan succeeds, the Power Rangers will die, just like everyone always
just
says.
Just like every plan will lead to eventually.
And Xander's like, thank God, I'm so drunk. I'm glad he's off doing something. He, like, falls over. It's like he goes to sit down, but he flops down like a cat who just decided, I'm laying here now.
This is where I'm sleeping, yeah. And he's like, if he does it, it'll be worth him being annoying forever or whatever, like having been annoying for the whole time. And Shane was like, if you say so. She's like, okay.
I have a question about the design of Shammy.
Yeah, yeah.
The two big yellow eyes on her head, are those her actual eyes? Because I cannot see the face that way. because of the way she has her human nose and mouth.
I
cannot imagine those being the eyes. Like, I cannot put that together in the way that makes it look like a face.
She's based on a sea slug, from what I understand. So
that
I guess
explains
have,
all the teeth and mouths.
Yeah, well, there's like a lot of secret teeth. No one's down there, so we don't know.
That's true.
How many teeth the sea slug has? But because like the slugs have like stalk eyes, right?
Yeah.
So like maybe that's what that is. I don't know if they're supposed to be her real eyes or if they're like decoy eyes to like scare you.
Yeah, her real eyes are where they should be with the rest of her face. It's
right.
Just like under her hair, kind of. That's the only way I can see it. I cannot see those two big yellow things as eyes.
It doesn't really play that way to me. It's like headlights. It's like she has headlights on her head for nighttime driving.
And they wouldn't do this anyway because I don't think Cole is a good method actor, but like when they're talking later, he's not looking at those.
no, his eye line is where her eyes would be.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think if they are, I don't know, it doesn't really play to me either.
Yeah.
But so then we cut to Octoroon, he's making a well, and he's like, once we get this well going, it'll spill out Sanzu, like the Sanzu will flow up through here.
Yeah, the well will fill with Sanzu water, and then we can just come and go through here as we want, which, like, they already can come and go through any gap on the planet.
Any single gap ever, yeah.
Why would you want it to be specifically this well?
Later, he says, like, this is where they'll be able to recharge instead of having to go all the way back
to
the Sanzu.
That makes more sense. Like, they can just come here. He says it in a stupid rhyme, but he's like, they can just moisten up here.
They can get wet here instead of having to go get wet in the river.
Yeah.
Then up comes a guy who I named, his name is Aunt Barry, I think.
Yeah, I think that's it.
I think his name is Aunt Barry. I called him Greggy Mississippi because he's very concerned with the river. He's more concerned with the river than anybody else has been. And Mississippi, very famously, is also the name of a river. So he comes up. There's also some seals, some like paper seals on a tree that we'll figure out what they do later. And he's like, toy train. And he comes up with Moogies carrying a bunch of toys that they stole from kids.
Yeah. And we find out their plan is to take all the toys and smash them.
Yeah.
And ruin them to make the kids cry. And that'll raise the river up enough to flood the well.
And that will be good. And we'll like that.
But here's the problem.
Yeah,
they've taken the toys away from the children. Are they going to smash them up here and bring them back there?
Bring them back there?
Wouldn't it be worse for the kids if you smashed them in front of them?
I feel like if you just make them go away, the kids are going to be doing the crying then.
Yeah.
Like, the smashing of them doesn't release their power, you know, like...
The smashing of them is more just like, now the Rangers can't fix it.
Get them back. Yeah. Also, Josh, Aunt Barry is played by a Morphin Grid fave.
Oh.
He is voiced by someone we are a pretty big fan of. Can you guess who that is?
You know what's crazy?
You can't name a single character that's ever been on Power Rangers.
When the episode went off, I paused it to make sure I heard Aunt Barry right.
Uh-huh.
And I did not even look one inch to the right to see who the voice was.
That's how I found out who it was, because it did not sound like the guy.
I have no guesses.
If I give you a season, do you think you could probably narrow it down?
Is it a voice actor?
He has been a human person on the show.
I don't know.
it's Barney Duncan. Who is Toby Slambrook?
Jake, I don't know who that is.
It's a boss from Mystic Force.
Okay. Neat.
He also was Piggy in SPD.
Oh.
Which I like less, but I love Toby.
Yeah.
Did not even catch that, even a little bit. I had to, like, I read his name, and I was like, okay. They should just bring him back regular style the whole time. He rules. So we come from... from the well to the house again, where Antonio is setting up spy cameras, and he's like, I will spy on him and I will watch him be the perfect samurai, and then I'll be able to impress Kevin, a thing you should want to aspire to, I guess.
I don't, like, that's my big problem with this, like, besides the fact that Kevin is like a major wiener.
He's a wiener.
It's just like, why is that the guy that, like, you have to get on board?
Yeah, like, other than the fact that the story dictates it, what's it matter?
Yeah,
like, if you have 4/5 of the Rangers on your side, who cares about Kevin? he'll come around or he won't. You don't have to worry about it.
Yeah.
So we cut from him doing that back to Shammy, who's on like a rock beach on the shore of the Sanzu River. And Decker's just there dead. Now he's not dead, but he's like, ugh. And she's like, oh, he really whipped your ass, Decker. It's so unfortunate. If he would have killed you, then it would have broken the curse, but you're not that lucky.
Well, yeah, the curse would be broken because you're dead. There's nothing left to be cursed.
Exactly. But it still counts as breaking the curse.
But you're not better off.
No,
you're dead.
I mean, but you're not cursed anymore. It depends on how bad the curse is.
Yes. So what is his curse? The sword Urumasa?
The sword makes him want to find the best duel, and that's it.
The
and
curse.
He can't remember anything
else. I thought
else.
The curse is that he had to turn into coal sometimes.
The curse is that he doesn't get to be a cool bone man with a blood face all the time. Yeah. That is a curse.
And also, his sword, Urumasa.
Urumasa.
It thirsts for blood. The strongest blood.
The strong blood. But not the strongest, just the strongest current blood, and that's Jaden. So, it'll do.
So, like, if he fine killed Jaden... Would it then be like, now I need to fight the next strongest?
Now we
got to
work our way down.
Yeah.
No one ever does that. No one ever is like, the story is, I've already killed the best, now I'm going down the line.
Yeah, now I got to get the second best because they're the best now.
Yeah, and you get to like the 87th best. And it's like, what's up? My name's Derek. I'm really okay with a sword. I shouldn't be here. And then like, it's like, Derek, it's up to you. He killed 86 better people.
Yeah, I have held a sword in my time.
And they're like, well, Derek, now you're the hero of the story.
And just stabs him and moves on.
Yeah.
It's like, man, this got way easier.
This is so much easier. And then it gets to like 106. And it's like, hi, I'm Stacy. I had to move my little brother's katana once. And so that legally counts as me touching a sword. And now she has to kill Urumasa.
Yeah.
I would watch that movie. So then, anyway, so she's like wistful about it. She's like, oh, you saved me. I wish I knew why you saved me.
Yeah. And then she's like, is it possible that you remember me?
Could it be that you remember me?
He wakes up. He's like, no, that's not it. I don't remember anything except for bloodlust.
We don't get that yet. That's in a flashback, which is pretty funny. We cut later to Kevin at 8 in the morning on the dot coming into training. On the button.
Yeah. And
coming in to do training.
We briefly mentioned that Antonio hooked up a bunch of cameras
to
spy on Kevin.
He set up a bunch of cameras everywhere. Yeah.
I guess to see like what Kevin thinks a real samurai should do.
Right, so we can live, eat, and breathe, and sleep samurai training.
Yeah.
But really, it's just like be on a very tight schedule.
Yeah, work out all day on a schedule. That's what a samurai.
That's
really
what it
is.
And like eat this amount of oats.
Yeah.
The specific amount of like grams worth of oats. It's like a whole montage of like Antonio watching him like all night, and he gets up before 8 cuz 8 is when training starts. He's been up for like 2 hours to do jogging and come back before training starts. Presumably there is a shower in between. I don't know. It wasn't on the schedule. I didn't see his itinerary. So he does all that, and like at 8 he comes in, and then like he's up doing stuff until midnight. At midnight on the dot, he closes his eyes and falls asleep immediately. A superpower.
Yeah, he goes to bed, shuts the door, which means immediate.
I am asleep. Sleep. He pulls up the blankets, closes eyes, out. Man, that would be so nice. If you could be like, I'm going to sleep now.
Like, that's you just it? Do, yeah.
That'd be great.
Instead of trying not to go to sleep, and then you wake up 2 hours later in the middle of the day, you're like, I shouldn't have done that.
Ah, beans. I took a nap at like 10 p.m. the other night, and it
you just went
me
to
up
bed,
so
man. I hate to no, break it to you.
No, I was not in sleeping conditions. My overhead light was on, and that is not the way you want to go to bed. It was bad.
That happens to me sometimes. I'll go lay on the bed late at night, and I'm not in the bed, and like the lights are still on, and I fall asleep, and I'll wake up at like 1 a.m, and I'll be like, oh shit.
And you're like, oh no, I'm in a twilight zone.
It's like,
now.
I just
oh,
slept
man.
For like 2.5 hours. I still have to brush my teeth. I have to shut all the lights off and get everything. Like, I have to shut down the house basically still.
Yeah, but like way later than you feel.
And I'm
like
groggy because I just woke up after sleeping for 2.5 hours on top of the covers. Like, I dropped my phone on my face. Like,
I worry that, like, because I, like, if I'm on my phone and I'm falling back asleep, I worry I'm just going to send people, like I'll accidentally hit the share button and just like be sending people like
that. If I'm on Discord and I'm starting to nod off, there have been times where I've like started to sleep reply to stuff.
Yeah, I woke up with like
on Discords that I am not act that I just like lurk in. Do you just there for? Yeah, yeah.
That's embarrassing.
It's like I can't. Oh, like oh, I hope I didn't leave a freaking random emoji reaction to someone's post from like whenever that was.
I did that on Instagram a couple of years ago. I don't know when I did it, but the next day I was looking at my DMs and there was like an emoji from me to someone, and it was just somebody I follow, not somebody I'm like mutuals with or know or anything. And I was like, hey, I was falling asleep when I sent this emoji. I don't know what the story was. I hope this wasn't super inappropriate. Like, you're like, oh, my grandma died. And I'm like, fire heart. Because, like, that would be so embarrassing. I worry that I'll accidentally send someone a tweet I'm scrolling by because my For You page is buck wild sometimes. And I'm just worried I'll be like, oh, whoops. And then there's, you know, something that I didn't need to send anybody.
Yeah. There was just a post in a Discord. It's just a bunch of unintelligible letters because my thumb was just hovering barely over the screen hitting stuff. Sorry if that is somewhere.
Who knows? Could be. We cut from him going to bed directly at midnight. Also, Antonio's like falling asleep. He's like, whoa, watching Kevin all day is really boring, I guess. And like, yeah, the episode also lets us know that. So then we cut to Greggy, Mississippi, sneaking into where I thought was somewhere. Turns out it is Bill and Spike's garage, and steals the panda mascot that they won in episode like 4.
Yeah.
Which is impressive.
Sammy.
Sammy the Samurai Panda.
Yeah.
And they steal it, and it like he hits Spike in the face.
Spike
and
like stretches as he's walking by, and so he falls, and there's banter with a sleeping Spike.
They sleep on the floor of the garage, too, and I assume that's because it's easier just to film in there than make a second room.
It's their samurai training.
I think you're right.
To sleep on those little, like, nap pads.
Yeah, on the it's not quite a yoga mat.
Yeah.
But it's somewhere near that. I don't know what they're actually called. But yeah, and he doesn't wake up, and he's like, he'll hate it. And it's like, I thought you were stealing from children. So you're stealing from Spike. So we agree that Spike is a child.
Yeah, Spike is 8 years old.
He is 8 years old. He looks like a adult man. He has a lot of leg hair for an 8 year old.
Yeah.
And I say this as someone who has a lot of leg hair now, but was a pretty late bloomer in the body hair department.
I had a lot of leg hair when I was a teenager. I did not get any upper body hair until I was like in my 20s.
I couldn't grow a beard until I lived in California, like a real beard until I that's why I just stopped not like shaving because I was like, ah, finally.
Yeah, I had like a couple little chest hairs. I was like, hey, look at these guys. But I am like a hairy man
now. It never stopped. Once it started, it was like, oh, I can just be everywhere.
Yeah.
Anyway, so he doesn't wake up, and they get away with Sammy the Panda. Then we cut to Kevin waking up the next morning, and Antonio he goes for a jog, and Antonio follows him. And then we cut back to Bill and Spike, and they wake up, and they're like, get Sammy for some reason.
Spike wakes up first, and he's just like going to say good morning to Sammy.
Right.
And he's not there, so he screams, and he's like,
child.
Uncle Bulk, Sammy's gone.
And Bulk's like, he's not gone. He's right. Where'd he go? Oh,
he's
no.
On the chauffeur. He always gets. Oh, my God. Sammy's gone.
And this will be the last we hear from Bulk, but not the last we see from Bulk. And that.
Man, I had to rewatch that twice because I don't know what his face was
like
doing.
Six times. I don't know what. I don't know what it. I don't know why they did it.
It's like he didn't remember how to smile, and they kept it in the episode of him trying to like figure out the shape his mouth should be in.
It's so weird. It's the thing that ends the episode. It's the last shot of
the
episode.
Black after that. It's
buck wild. So back to jogging Kevin. Antonio's following him, and then Kevin hears Octoroo be like, whoa, the well, we're gonna
I'm Octoroo.
Throw it in the well, that is swell. Like, and then Kevin stops. He's like, Antonio, did you hear that? Antonio's like, yeah. Wait.
There has been no hint to the audience.
No.
That
no.
Kevin is aware that Antonio is here.
This would be so cool if Kevin was cool.
I will admit, I found this incredibly funny.
I thought it was funny. It's a little wasted on Kevin.
It is a little wasted on Kevin, but he's straight face just as like, hey, Antonio, did you hear that?
I also love Antonio being like, yeah, wait, you know what I was here? He's like, yes, obviously, you're following me jogging. I'm a samurai.
Also, can we talk about Antonio's gold shoes for just 1 second? I just want to acknowledge that he has what looks
shoes?
Like regular shoes that have been painted gold. And I never noticed them in this when he's
chasing. They his running shoes?
They're just like regular, looks like regular like Adidas running shoes or something.
I did not notice
them. But they're gold.
Is it only in the jogging scene or is it?
I only noticed it when he was following him.
I'll have to rewatch.
I have not noticed it before and I did not think enough to check again later.
Because it's important to note that Antonio, the blue and gold ranger, wears neither blue nor gold in his
white
civilian outfit. He is wearing hipster checkerboard.
Yeah.
And that's it. It's white and black and his apparently gold running shoes. I did not notice them. I would not be surprised if they were spray painted because they couldn't find gold ones. He's like, yeah, I knew you were following me. I also know about the cameras. Like, and then Antonio's like, they're saying this as they're trying to find the source of Octaroo chuckling or whatever. And he's like, you're just messing around. And he's like, I'm not messing around. I'm trying to take this seriously.
But he gets in his face. He's like, I'm not messing around. I'm taking this seriously, dude. And the way he hits dude is so like desperate. It's so just like, you're not listening to me, dude. Like I'm like, come on. I'm
Please.
Like, I am serious about, I'm not just a goober.
Sometimes when Antonio says like dude or man or babe or bro or whatever, like when he like adds those in, it feels very like the character Antonio being like, I gotta pretend I'm straight. What is straight?
You're wearing an ascot,
like?
Man. I don't know.
I'm sorry. I don't wanna paint with a broad brush. You look like the least straight Power Ranger we've ever had.
And
Power Ranger is bisexual except Joel. So like that's impressive, honestly.
Yeah.
So then they go around a corner and they hear Octaroo talking to Greggy Mississippi. And he's like, you got to chop up. We got 30 toys. That's the perfect amount of toys to chop up and throw in the well.
30 sad kids is all we need.
The well needs 30 toys to feed it. That's the well's payment.
Yeah, sure. It's a cursed well, and the only way to get it to do your bidding is to feed it 30 favorite toys.
30 favorite stolen toys from children, but you got to chop them up first.
And you have to chop them up with this specific axe that's made from stone from the Nylock riverbed?
It's made from the Sanzu riverbed, and it's a kick-ass looking axe, and it does rule, and I wish there was more to this part of the story, but there is not a lot.
Yeah, here's a cool ancient magic item. Used to chop up toys to feed the well.
Yeah, this is just for chopping up a plastic bike.
Yeah, it's like a little Tyke's tricycle.
Yeah, for like a baby. For like a baby. Like, they stole this from a baby.
They stole they went to Mia's daycare, and they're like, take the bike.
Get the one for the baby. And it's like, I'm two. And they're like, well, give me that bike, baby. And he's like, that's my favorite bike, I'm two. That's basically all the stuff I know about is that bike and my mom and dad.
And that's only when I can see them.
And that's it. And maybe you're onto something. Maybe they take the bike away, and the baby's like, I don't have object permanence. I don't care. Do whatever you want with it. I'll find something else to chew on. Who cares? So he's like, yeah, you got to chop it up and throw it up. Before the well dried up, though, this is how they got into the human world. Like, this was the only way. They had to develop gap technology in order to make up for the well going dry, I guess. But as long as we throw 30 toys into it, chopped up so the well can eat it easier, smaller bites can chew it better. Then we'll be back in business,
baby. Then we'll get the water.
Then we'll get the water.
Then we'll get the khakis.
Then we get the chicks. Then they try to call for help. The boys try to call for help, and the signal's blocked.
I don't get this. So it shows the little tags stuck to the tree.
Your little spirit tag kind of deals, yeah.
Yeah. And it's like, and it show when they do the toy train and all the Nylocks are walking through, it's showing them walking through a force field while these tags are glowing.
Right.
Which makes me think these are anti-samurai barrier tags.
They are anti-samurai detection tags, I think.
They detect samurai activity and block cell signal.
Right.
But they do not stop them from morphing.
No, you can morph in here. You don't need the, so you don't need signal to morph. That's already downloaded onto the phone.
As far as I can tell, the barrier, they could just walk in. They yeah. could just come through it, and so that I don't see how these help.
Other they're than being bad like, tags.
Yeah.
They're
other than being
tags.
Like, hey, there's a samurai here trying to make a phone call.
Yeah, and it's like, oh, get him. But like, it should blow up the samurai, right? Like, if you're like, I'm making a phone call, it should like shoot you with lightning.
Yeah.
I think that would be a much better tag to put up. Instead, the signal is blocked, and Octoroo's like, ooh, ah, ooh, I can see you, or whatever, and blasts at them, and they do a jump morph into their morph forms, and then they start fighting Greggy. But Greggy, you know how slime, yeah, you know, he's so wicked slimy. Well, he lubes their weapons right up, can't stay in their hands. Weapon shooting Hell West and Griffin.
Yeah, sure. You get all gacked up, and then your swords slide out of your hands like a bar of soap.
Yeah. Remember when there was a guy who they couldn't hit because he was too slippery?
He was all slime, and it just kind of like went through him. Yeah.
He was like seaweed, and he like wiggled around it. This is the second slippery-themed boy we've had in 15
But this
episodes.
One is just like you slide right off him.
Yeah, it's too much lube.
Antonio tries to grab him, and he just slips out, and he's like, too slimy for you.
Oh, maybe that's when you make a mess, is when you make a slip. Make a slip and slide. So they're fighting him, they're doing poorly because they can't like get a hold of him, and their weapons are also like flying out of their hands, and then Octoroo blasts them, and they fly down the like a regular river, not the Sanzu, just a regular one.
Yeah.
And they like fly away. And then he's like, Moogies, go get them, and you, Greggy, chop up the toys. And Greggy's like, I would love to chop up the toys, but my slime done made the axe dull, so I gotta sharpen it first. And he's like, well, sharpen it then, and then chop up the toys. You gotta chop up the toys.
It's the axe is just wet.
No, it's just slimy, but it dulled it.
I guess like if you try to hit it with the slime has bouncy
away.
Qualities. It's just, yeah. Or it just like slides off of it.
You gotta hit a teddy bear, teddy bear slides away. Now it's a wet, slimy, but still intact teddy bear, and you can't you can't throw that into the well. You look like an idiot.
A total buffoon.
A nincompoop. So he goes to sharpen it. We cut back to the boat, and Shammy's playing her shamisen. And Xandra comes in, he's like, hey, something's different about your music.
Xandra gets like right in her face and is like, what's wrong with you?
What's wrong with you?
Tell me what's happening.
Your music's different.
It's the same. It's the same song.
It's the same sound bite as she played earlier today.
Yeah, but she's moping a little more. So he's like, hey, your music.
I can feel it.
Is different.
In the music.
She's like, no, nope.
No, I'm fine. I'm fine, actually. And he's like, okay.
I'm fine. Yeah, there's nothing wrong. It's fine. Everything's fine.
She has a flashback showing that, guess what? She's not fine. I don't think she's actually fine. I think she's lying. Because the flashback is her talking to Decker when he like gets awake from being drowned on the shore of the Sanzu River. And then she's like, do you remember anything? And he's like, just that Uramasa wants me to have a good duel with the best duelist.
Yeah, because she's like, hey, you're like so, why are you so obsessed with having to fight the Red Ranger? He's like, my sword Uramasa seeks out the only strongest challenges. It's
and
the same. He always refers to it as my sword Uramasa.
Uramasa.
And it's just like, I don't know, man. It's losing its luster a little bit.
I disagree.
The mystique is gone, and I think he just looks kind of like a doofus.
I think the problem is that it's Cole doing it. If it wasn't Cole doing it, I think it would still work. Because every time he says the full phrase, my sword Uramasa, or just like refers to it by name, I get a little bit excited about the sword coming to life at some point, you know?
But it's not. It's just like pulling him into a fight with Jaden.
Yeah. And he's like,
he's just compelled. Like the compulsion is so strong, it's all he can think about.
Yeah. And he's like, it's the only thing there is to me is the urge to duel the Red Ranger for my blade Uramasa.
Yes, my sword Uramasa. Well, it's the drink of blood of the Red Ranger.
And she's like, do you remember anything before that? He's like, no, not before the blade.
Looks at her, he's like, no, I don't remember a single, I don't remember us almost being married or anything.
No, I'm pretty sure we were almost married. I do not remember a single second. Because she like tries to lead him there. She's like, anything maybe from before the blade cursed you?
And he's basically like, the blade wants the blood so bad that like the only way I can ever be satisfied is if I spill the blood of the Red Ranger.
I gotta get the blood.
And then she's like, there's nothing like I could do maybe to satisfy
you. No, you don't want like a handy or like.
You don't want me to make you S?
No, I could make you S so good.
And he's like, no, he's like, my sword Urumasa just wants combat. And he just
Urumasa
like,
won't let me get off until I kill the Red Ranger.
Urumasa's totally blocking me
I
right now.
I can't finish until Urumasa feeds on blood first. And it's picky. And she's like, okay, all right. I think at some point it was mentioned that she was a human too. I don't know if it's been said, but like the whole thing with her being a, like almost getting married in like a regular shaped human woman dress.
Yeah.
Like not, it didn't have room for all of her spikes and sea slug stuff. Like, and I'm pretty confident this was going to be her husband. And then Urumasa got in the way.
So he goes cursed with Urumasa by Xandru. Yeah. Apparently, Xandru cursed him. If I'm reading this right, or maybe not. Maybe he was just out and he found his sword Urumasa.
Yeah,
and he was like, "Oh, kick ass sword!
Look at this rad sword! I'm gonna wear this to my wedding. I'm gonna look cool as hell."
He pulls it from the stone or whatever, and immediately gets cursed into a blood skeleton.
Turns into a blood skeleton, and then human Shammy is like, I can work with this. It's a little better than coal.
You know?
And then he's like, I can't consummate the marriage with you. I gotta get.
But then how?
And then she got so sad.
Is
she turned
her
into a
Shamisen cursed? Or she just got so sad she turned into a slug?
I don't know. I would like it to be that like her Shamisen got cursed also. Like maybe they were wedding gifts from Xandru to curse me. But I also like that she just got so sad from being herself being blocked.
Yeah, she turned into a sea slug demon.
A sea slug demon who just plays sad guitar on the boat. So then we cut from there to breakfast, and it's a little bit before 8, and Kevin isn't back, and Jane's like, Kevin's not back yet. That's weird. And Mike's like, yeah, it's not weird. He's always,
yeah,
he's,
like, I think,
he's usually back.
I think Mia is like, he's usually back by now. And Mike's like, oh no, you can set your watch by that guy. He is always back here by 8 on the dot.
Always back. And then Jane's like, I have a bad feeling about this. Yeah. And then we cut.
He goes from doing his weird V smile to just being like
his triangle smile.
To just like, I have a bad feeling about this. Actually, now that you've said that, this is bad, actually.
This is bad, actually. Go, girl, give us nothing. So then we cut to Kevin and Antonio hiding from Moogies. And at some point, Kevin, I guess his arm got too slippery and now it is injured. And he's trying to make a
Antonio,
swing.
Antonio, not Kevin.
Did I say Kevin? Now I'm doing it the opposite way. That's weird.
We didn't see his arm get hurt.
No, and then Kevin also, for a second, I thought his wrist was hurt. The way they, in a second, they like present something, but it's not. It's just for friction.
Yeah.
But it's Antonio, they didn't highlight his arm getting hurt. They're just him putting his arm through
sling.
His ascot. Like, that's not going to help,
so
man.
It's like way up here. It's not keeping it bent at a 90 degree angle. This is the sharpest angle that it could be at.
The sling is to keep your arm secure, like so your arm like stays in a position, because I broke my collarbone once. I was in a sling for like 8 weeks, so or maybe it was like six. It was a long time. So it's just to keep your arm in a position that it won't move while it heals. It's not to keep it up. It's not to keep it from flopping around. Like, it has a specific thing. You can't just be like, well, my arm's a little hurt, I'm going to tie it to my neck.
I don't know. Because he does it with the actual ascot here in this original scene. And it is, like, way up, like, at his throat, basically, his hand.
It's like
is.
He's trying to choke himself, yeah.
When we cut to the next scene, it is a much longer piece of fabric.
Right. It grew off screen thanks to symbol power.
He used a symbol power. Be like long ascot symbol.
Yeah. You should have written sling and got one. You have magic powers that can create horses and dads. Just use it sometimes. A sling should be no problem for the symbol power. Kevin's like, you hide here, I'll go fight. And he's like, no. And then Kevin runs off. And then we cut to Greggy sharpening. There's a whetstone and he's sharpening the blade, except it's all slimy.
It's all
I thought
slimy.
That's what made it dull.
And I feel like you don't want to lubricate a whetstone.
You do need to wet the whetstone. That's why it's okay. That is apparently part of it. But I don't think you need to put the Ivan Ooze glue slime on.
Yeah,
I don't know if that's a good.
I don't know. Like he says, it's dull. I really think the slime is just affecting the blade,
right?
Because it's a magic Sanzu stone axe.
Yeah.
I don't feel like if you get it a little ucky that it's not going to work anymore.
It'll be okay.
But he's like grinding it on the stone. And it, like, I guess he's just maybe trying to rub the slime off or something. I don't know. He's sharpening it. Something. Whatever. He's going to hack up the toys with the axe.
Yeah. And so he's doing that. And then Kevin jumps in and starts fighting Moogies. But then the damn numbers game, as is tradition. So he's not winning. And then Antonio jumps in and he like helps beat up some of the Moogies. And Kevin's like, I told you to hide. And then I had to rewind this a couple times because I was like, I don't think he said what he was supposed to say. And they kept that take because what he says, what I thought he was supposed to say was you would have never told the others to hide. But mm-hmm. what he did say was you have never have asked the others to hide. And I rewound it a couple times to make sure that he said you have never have. And that is what he said. And he's like, I just don't treat me like a coward.
Yeah. He's like, you may not think I'm a samurai, but do not treat me like a coward.
Yeah. Samurai is more than blood. It's about doing good, et cetera, et cetera. The whole spiel you would expect at this point. And then Kevin's like, you're right. Now we have to buy time until.
Yeah. He puts his hand on his shoulder, which means like I was wrong.
I trust you. And
I was wrong about you. You are samurai.
Turns out. I found out that you are samurai. And then he's like, we just got to wait for the other. What?
That's a joke.
It is. Uh-huh.
About Stockman Sean.
It is. Yes, 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 yes.
Oh, that is so specific. It is.
So... He's like, we just gotta buy some time for Jaden and the others to show up. And Antonio's like, oh, you got through. And he's like, no, but when I'm not there for training, they'll know something's wrong. And then we cut to a close-up on Jaden. It's like a startling close-up.
Yeah.
On him being like, Kevin's never this late. Something's up. And it says 8 on the it says 8 o'clock. And he's like, he's never been this late. And then it cuts to a wide shot of them for 1 second, cuts back to the clock. Clock goes 8:01. And Jane goes, it's too late. We got to go find him. Like, he's never been 1 minute late before.
I thought it was already past 8.
It was on 8.
But, so like, the whole conversation at breakfast was, wow, it's weird that Kevin's not usually back yet. But if he's not.
That was before. He wasn't back for breakfast.
But if he's not usually back until 8.
Yeah.
Why would he have been back before then?
Josh, don't worry about it. He's not back at 8:01. Now we know something's wrong.
And if you send yourself through the time loop to kill yourself to close the loop.
Time travel stuff will fry your brain like an egg. They get up and they leave. And then we come back to Kevin and Antonio. And they're like helping each other get to where they got to fight. Because Antonio is apparently hurt. And then when they get to the top, Antonio rips his ascot in half. And he's like, tie your sword to your hand with this so it won't slip out. And he's like, oh, good idea. So then they morph. And they tie their swords to their hands, and it works. It won't let it slip away.
It helps
the lube
them
is
it's firmly grasp it.
What is that from?
That's from SpongeBob when Squidward is all his bones are broken and he's in a full body cast, and they take him jellyfishing, and Patrick's like, firmly grasp the net, and he like puts it in on his hand, but his hand is just a big cast, so it just falls off, and he's like, firmly grasp it, and he like smashes it through his tentacle.
Do you know that Patrick is Marshall's dad?
Yeah.
That's wild. He also played Alan from Jumanji.
Oh.
Like Robin Williams' character. He was him in the Jumanji TV show.
Really? I did not know that. He's in Coach also.
He was also in Coach. He played Coach's friend.
Yeah, assistant coach.
Assistant coach. They start fighting. The sharpening is done, and now it's time to destroy the coolest toy, which is a baby's Fisher-Price bike. And so they take that, they put it on the block, and he raises up the axe, and he goes to chop it, but then the little dragon comes in and, like, bops him a couple times and knocks it out of his hand. And it goes right down the well. So goodbye, cool mythic axe. See you never.
It goes down the well. This is also an Octoroo's like, no, my axe.
The axe, oh no.
This is the first time I've noticed Octoroo has a mouth.
I also noticed he had a mouth for the first time.
Boy, I don't like it.
It's not my favorite.
It's a pretty weird little spot to have a mouth.
It's like a little, it's just a little triangle. It's like Jaden. It's just a little triangle. and it just flaps open.
Yeah.
I don't like it. I don't care for
like
it.
It's like at the end of like a long proboscis kind of thing.
Yeah.
I don't like it. Anyway, the axe falls down the well and everything's ruined.
The Ascots worked, so they don't lose the swords.
Yeah, because they get Sanzu slimed. That's the name of the Pokemon move that Aunt Berry uses to attack them.
He has to say it every time to use it.
But their swords are tied to their hands, so they don't fall out.
Got them.
They figured it out. They solved the riddle.
Defeated by the power of Ascots. And eventually the others show up and they help. They like block a thing. And then there's like a little standoff and Jaden is, you know, standing off against Greggy Mississippi. And he's like, Sanzu slime. And then Jaden blocks it and shoots a fireball back. And apparently the slime is also made of petroleum.
Very flammable slime.
Blows up immediately.
And it goes down the well and explodes the well.
And yeah, he falls down the well and blows up the whole well. And then they're like, we did it. And then, but wait, there's more. And he grows. And now it's time for Zords. So they do the Zord. They do the whole get all your guys and everything. And they do the whole sequence. And then they call out Octo Mode. Or he calls out Octo Zord. And then Kevin's like, Antonio, come be the Megazord. And he's like, oh, right. And then so they do that. They get into Octo Mode. And I don't remember what this is referring to.
What happens here, but all of a sudden Greggy Mississippi is holding the Octozord like a guitar.
Yeah, he's like, get a grip, not, and then slimes them, and so the Octozord just slips off the Megazord, I guess?
And then he's made of slime, and so slime plus slime equals grip, and so he just grip, grabs it.
Turns into grip tape.
And he's just holding it. I don't really know what happened after that. I zoned out.
It inks him in the face and flies back onto the Megazord, and then they kill him. And they freeze him, and then they do a lightning attack.
Did you see in the Discord where, I'm pretty sure it was Mr. Danger, posted a picture of the Megazord with the big stupid sword hat?
Yeah.
Next to the picture of Swordward and Shieldbert.
Swordward and Shieldbert, I did see that.
Sword and Shield. That is exactly correct. That is exactly the same energy.
Extremely correct on that one. I hate those two dork asses
so
much.
Stupid. Are we even doing that part in the playthrough?
Look, I think we said we were going to do Patreon exclusive episodes on the DLC.
Did we say that?
We did.
Okay.
But I don't know if we said we're doing post game, which is just running around and fighting two dork asses for a while.
Yeah.
So if there's demand in the form of monetary compensation, we will.
Yeah. It is going to cost you if you want us to talk about Swordward
and
Shieldbert.
And that's not this podcast. So you had to listen to both shows to get the full deal. But that is, we'll probably mention it again. But yeah, I don't care for those two idiots, but it is exactly them having the big stupid swordfish hat on.
Yeah.
So then they kill him. He's dead. We cut to, I guess they brought all the toys back to the house.
They must have taken them from the woods and brought them home. And then Jaden's like, we should bring these back anonymously, even though everybody knows about the Power Rangers.
They know about the Power Rangers, but they don't know who the Power Rangers are. And they're like, so we don't draw attention to ourselves.
Then morph and do it.
Right. Do it morphed. Easy. Done. But then Emily goes, it'll be fun to play Santa. And Mia goes, ho, ho, ho. I put a little too much emphasis on
it. You did do that with too much soul. Too much spirit in your voice.
It's like ho, period, ho, period, ho, period. But it's like short. But it certainly, it does stop. It's like ho, ho, ho. Like.
Yeah.
That's not how Santa would ever say that.
No.
Put some zhuzh on it, Mia. Give us something. So then when they return the ball in the truck and they're like, wow, our truck.
my truck.
Like, and then they start playing with it. And then we cut back to Bill and Spike. And Spike opens, there's a knock, and Spike opens the door, and there's Sammy on the steps.
Did Sammy always have a muzzle on?
He's got a muzzle and a like a bandana on.
The
and
bandana
I think,
was there before. I remember that, I think, from when Greggy took him.
The muzzle might also be because it's like a classic trope in anime of like a character who like a thief character has like a certain kind of bandana and then something around their face, but not like a mask, but like wrapped around their face to make it look like a mustache kind of. And I think that's what this is supposed to be. So he starts jumping around and yelling at Sammy's back and laughing and snorting. And then we cut to Bulk, who just opens his mouth and then closes it.
Yeah, he opens his mouth like, ah.
Like, if like there was and an accompanying like, sound, it would be, aw.
Yeah, and then like a smile comes out and he's like, hey.
But there's no sound.
But it is creepy.
It's weird.
It's very avant-garde.
So between Dao and Sizzle, they made a gif of the Yabol ring. I would like to request a gif of this face.
Yes,
this
please.
Sequence of faces, just so I can, like, you can see what we mean.
It's unexplainable.
I don't know. It's like he's happy that his 8-year-old nephew got his toy back, except his nephew is an adult man.
It's like he's trying to say something, but he can't. And then so he just smiles.
It's like he got interrupted.
It's like someone took his voice.
He got Ursula.
Yeah.
He got Little Mermaided. But it's like he was about to say something, but he got interrupted, but there's nothing interrupting him. Like, it's when you go to say something and someone else says something, and like, you
go, oh. All right, Paul, just, like, kind of open your mouth like you're going to go, oh, right, and we'll ADR it in later, and they never did.
Yeah, we don't have microphones today, so we'll just fix it later. Because Spike is also ADR'd when he's like, oh, Sammy's back. Or whatever, the noise he makes.
He snorts at it, like, 2 or 3 times.
Like, 100 times. Like, he's trying to huff it. I don't like it.
Stop it.
Anyway, that's the end of the episode.
Yeah.
Thank God. Great. This is when I found out that Barney Duncan was Aunt Barry, and I was like, you should use Barney Duncan better. Barney Duncan would have been so good as Big Jack.
Oh, yeah.
Big Jack Barney Duncan? Are you kidding me?
I'm mad about Big Jack and Skinny Mac, actually.
I wish to God and Jesus we had Big Jack and Skinny Mac right now instead of Bill and Spike.
Bill and Spike.
These chuckleheads. Anyway, Josh, that's the end of the episode. I started... What's the best?
Oh, man. The best is... I think the best is when Antonio was like, I am trying, dude.
Yeah. I think I'm going to give it to when Kevin's like, Antonio, did you see that?
Oh, no, it is that. That I was laughing so hard at that in real life. It is definitely like, Antonio, did you hear that? Yeah.
What's the worst?
The worst is that there's no Big Jack and Skinny Mac.
I think the worst is the lack of Big Jack and Skinny Mac.
Yeah, that is
does
the
not
worst
make me ass
part of the show. Really,
really. If you think about it, who knows how good the show could have been with Big Jack and Skinny Mac? We'll never know.
And that is the worst.
That's the worst. The weirdest superpower I've ever thought up that I wish I had would be to pull DVD box sets out of different universes.
Yeah.
So I could watch alternate versions of shows where, like, Veronica Mars wasn't canceled in season 3, so I could see what season 4 would be like if it was made in 2008, you know, like 7 to 8 instead.
Yeah. I think the first time you told me about that, you were like, I'm going to get the full, like, 5-season set of Firefly.
Get all of Firefly out. Yeah. you can reach in and see what the rest of season 2 of True Calling would be if it didn't get canceled after 5 episodes.
You could see what Power Rangers Samurai would be like with Big Jack and Skinny Mac.
I want to steal the $600 DVDs of Samurai from the world with Big Jack and Skinny Mac because...
I keep wanting to say Skinny Mike, and I feel like we both have to pause to make sure we don't.
I keep wanting to say Big Jack and Big Mac.
Yeah.
And I have them. It's a different adjective. They're different guys.
Big Mac and Skinny Jack flows a little better.
Way
than
better.
Big Jack
and
Skinny
Power
Mac.
Power Rangers in a nutshell is there's a much better way to do this that you just didn't do. but then you can see that because they're singing street sweepers cleaning up monster problem. That would be so good.
Or just general destruction in the streets.
Like, street sweepery while they're singing a jaunty tune? That could interact with the Power Rangers story? That would be lovely.
That would be so good. But no, I said we had to have Paul Schreier come here and get S'd in his face all the time.
Does this mean he's not going to be in Super Samurai, do you think?
I honestly do not know. I don't. It depends on what that big spoiler that was left out.
Yeah,
of
they
the
kill
email
Bulk. Bulk gets killed. Bulk gets turned into a monster, and so he voices it. But he can voice it back in L.A. where he lives.
And instead of saving him, they put him in a bottle and stuff him in a wall for eternity.
Yeah, we never see him again. And everyone's like, she deserved it.
Everyone is wrong.
They are very wrong. Anyway, who's the MVP?
Antonio.
I also think it's Antonio.
Yeah, I do. Like, his first episode is an abysmal introduction yeah. to the character. These last two episodes with him, though, I like Antonio a lot.
Same. I think his acting is weird because it's trying to capture what I think is like exactly the performance the Sentai was giving, right?
Yeah.
Like the Sentai counterpart. And that doesn't fit at all. Like, that just doesn't fit. But when he's not doing that, when he's just like acting and not trying to like copy something, I think yeah. it really works in a way that is very fun to watch. Not as fun as watching Brittany Pirtle give us nothing in a fun way, like yeah. trying to give us something, but just unable to. And I also will.
Yeah,
mourn
I don't.
The death of her Hallmark Christmas movie career.
I know that. I want that alternate universe DVD box set, the Brittany Pirtle collection.
Let me get access to. It wouldn't be a box set. It would be Hallmark Plus from another universe yeah. where I can watch 100 movies of her as someone who's, you know, she moved to the big city to do yeah. job,
and she lost her small town sensibilities.
Yeah, now she's too big city, so you gotta go back, and a lumberjack or a farmer or something has to teach her how to love or whatever.
Yeah,
I would love that.
I would watch every single one of those
in a row every Christmas,
as long as she keeps rocking that side pony.
I saw a picture of her with her hair straightened, and it is sort of heartbreaking because her hair looks really good curled with the side pony, but we'll cross that bridge when we get there.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll like it more in movement. We'll see.
It's time to rank this. And here's the problem with ranking this is the Antonio stuff is pretty good.
Uh-huh.
And the Kevin stuff sucks ass.
Kevin is such a, like, a bummer.
What a bummer.
Kevin's such a bummer of a character.
I think this is better than Kevin fishing for 20 minutes.
Okay. Is it better than stalking a boy?
There is hidden cameras spying on Kevin.
That's true.
So it is similar in a way.
It is pretty. Now, how you don't like it so much now, Kevin, huh?
Actually, he didn't seem bothered by it. He was just like, yeah, no. I know this is happening and I'm going to allow this.
I'm
going to
do my training normally. I'm just going to continue my day as normal. So you know what? Maybe, I don't know. Maybe it's better than that.
It might be better than that. What was the spell one?
Spell on Blue is where he gets brainwashed.
Yeah.
And the fight stuff is good. The problem is with the slavery overtones. Yeah. They're not undertones. They're not even tones. They are straight up. Maybe they're tones. They don't come out and say it. But maybe they are just tones, I think, at that point.
Yeah.
And that's pretty uncomfortable. I haven't edited that episode yet, but that is not my favorite. I don't remember what Jaden's challenge is.
I don't either. I'm trying to think of, like, in terms of an episode.
Uh-huh.
What was in this one? Because you said you thought this was like a lot of episode.
There's a lot of movement.
But I feel like it was just Kevin accepts Antonio.
When I say there's a lot of episode, what I mean is there's a lot of scenes. Like a lot of times.
Yeah,
okay, like,
yes.
Like instead there will be, like, I don't have to change note headings a lot. You know what I mean? Like a lot of times it'll be like they're training for a while and then that's like 6 minutes of the episode done, right? Or there's like a fight in the beginning that takes 4 minutes, but this time it's like there's a lot of movement to the episode where they like go places and do things, so I feel like that was good. The problem is that the rest of the episode didn't kind of rise up to meet that.
Jaden's challenge is when he leaves on his own and he finds a boy and makes him a paper airplane.
Okay.
It's also Kevin comes up with the idea to combine everything into the battle wing Megazord.
Oh, the battle winger. Forgot about the battle winger.
And that's how they kill.
I think. Oh, no.
Rob Tish.
That's where Decker is like, Robbie Mayne, you're not allowed to kill Jaden. So I'm going to kill you if you try to kill him. But I also am going to be trying to kill Jaden, too.
Yeah.
There's like that three-way fight. I think that is better.
That's pretty cool than I think anything that happens in this.
Yeah. So I'm going to say under that, above, I've got a spell on Blue.
Yeah.
All right. Coming in at number six, the Blue.
Now I got to scroll back down through these Bible episode descriptions.
They are so long.
To get what the next one is.
I keep spelling guild. No, I mean gold. Please let me just put an O there.
The Blue and the Guild.
I'm begging you, iPhone. Just let me say O instead of I sometimes. New one has been doing is putting I's instead of U's. So it's going to the other side now, too.
like O and I, for me at least, I get it because they're right next to each other. Sometimes if I'm typing really fast, I don't hit space. I hit N or B.
I hit a long
string of things separated by N's. And
that
I'm like,
sounds like carny talk.
It's like, I'm just going to delete all that and try again.
Yeah.
Slower.
Tried typing up like three times and it kept saying ip. And I'm like, I'm not saying ip. I'm saying up.
Oh, this is weird. The next episode only has 6 lines for the episode description.
Oh, Guess the whoever's writing the play-by-play on it didn't like that one. What's it called, though?
Next episode is called Team Spirit.
Okay. All right. It's a pretty normal name.
And it's going to be, how are they able to accept Antonio as part of the team, even though they've done that twice already?
If they do it, I swan to John. They better not. They better not. Anyway, we'll see you next time for Team Spirit. But until then,
may the power protect you.
Nope, you froze.
Did I?
Nope. No, okay, never mind.
Okay. Maybe I just zoned out for a second.
Maybe you just were fully zoned out and it just looked like the camera wasn't moving.
My bad.